I'm telling you, this is nothing to do with my age, but the one thing that's really pissed me off recently is people younger than me coming to me for advice on stuff. And not only have they not done it, they made a point of pushing back to tell me why I'm wrong. Safe to say, it's just like, leave me alone. Like, I've got better things to do, like dedicate my time to a quality fantasy football podcast, the best one out there.
Welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast, or in my case, a fantasy football moan, groan, I don't know. My name is Manish Verma, and whilst I love fantasy football, this week I hate real football. Here to hear me moan about it all is my friend, Dr. Lumen Ali. Lumen, how are you?
Well, I think you asked me that question last week and I just went on this tirade. I think let's try the question the other way and ask how you are, and I just want you to let it all out.
Disheartened, soul crushed, dejected. I want to give up football. I don't think a sport like golf would hurt me this much. So maybe I try golf instead. I don't know. I'm an Arsenal fan, for people who don't know. And obviously this week, going into it, seeing Liverpool drop points, Man City smash Luton, and also significantly make up goal difference. And then for Arsenal to know what they had to do and then to just drop points at home to a somewhat weakened Aston Villa team is inexcusable, really. It's inexcusable, really. I'm flitting between trying to make excuses for Mikel Arteta and his selection and then just being completely just infuriated by it at the same time. The reality is we're now 2 points off Man City. The reality is Man City have a better run-in than any of us. My heart says that the title race is still on, but my head says, stick a fork in this Man City four-peat pie, it's done. That's where I'm at. What do you make of all that?
I missed the match. So I watched the highlights, and obviously there were a couple of late Villa goals. But tell me about the Arsenal performance. I mean, I saw Trossard miss a sitter. So, I mean, what was it?
So, actually, if you, you know, I'm frustrated because last week, and we've been talking about this one man being pivotal to the Arsenal way, and in this run-in, just being the balance in the team, Jorginho, and he's not in the team. And I'm thinking, okay, fine, you know what? It's at Villa, at home to a weakened Villa with no Douglas Luiz in that middle. So maybe, and you know, Villa got bopped off the pitch at Man City. I watched the Man City Aston Villa game and it was that Foden hat trick and they just got annihilated. And I thought, you know what? If there's any game to rest Jorginho at home after a Bayern Munich Champions League match, in the middle of, we've got a bit of a fixture congestion now. We'll talk about double game weeks. Why not do it here? He also played Zinchenko. And if you look at it, in the first half, we probably should have put it to bed. We had chances. We should have taken those chances. We could have taken those chances and maybe been 1 or 2-0 to the good. We were comfortable. In the second half, it just all fell to pieces, my friend. All fell to pieces. Villa were better. You can't, you know, there's no getting around that. Villa were better than us and we were poor. And yeah, they took the points and probably deservedly so on that second half. So,
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Jorginho because I've been saying all along about Jorginho. Let's not forget, it wasn't too long ago that Arsenal weren't keeping clean sheets and they weren't scoring and there was all this moaning about a new striker. And I was like, look, the midfielders need to step up. Jorginho comes in and the defence all of a sudden is like the best defence in the league. They didn't look like the best defence in the league on Sunday. And then, you know, going forwards, you know, they weren't doing it. But I think it's easy to be disheartened about what happened to Arsenal. But you've not been in bad form. You've been in great form. Liverpool, we'll get onto in a second, have been in horrific form. And, you know, I did not see a loss coming. But was I optimistic about our chances of blowing Crystal Palace away? Hell no. Hell no. That's why I didn't captain Mo Salah at home to Palace. Because we've been so bad recently. But I think the one thing I'd say on this whole title race is it's done and dusted. But if there is a team that's going to take advantage, it's going to be Arsenal.
You know, there's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Last season, we crumbled. And people using that bottle jobs term, right? And it's a nasty one because it sticks and it really hurts when you get called that, right? We've said it about Spurs all this time, right? But it's a horrible one to be labelled. But if it happens now, after Villa, like a Chelsea or a Wolves, which we've got next, and we don't pick up 6 points out of six, then I think the crumble happens, like the Southampton, West Ham games, Brighton games last season, and then a label sticks, and then you've got it for another season, and then you go into next season with a, oh yeah, Arsenal, they're great, but when it comes to it, they're going to crumble. It really, if we win every game from now on to the end of the season, then I think you can be like, hands up, we did what we did. There was a one game against Villa and it didn't go right. Fair enough. Man City won all their games. Fine. We're good enough to, we're probably are the second best team in the league. But if we crumble now, if we keep dropping points now, that label sticks. And that's what the big issue for me is. I don't want that label because it affects so much of how you approach next season and how teams approach you. So that's my worry.
I think it's a tough one with Arsenal because it's easy to say they bottled it, but I don't think it's as bad as last season. I think if you're looking at Arsenal's season, they messed up in the first half of the season. Man City have not been great, and Arsenal dropped too many points in the first half of the season. And that's, in the cold light of day, that's where you've not won the league. But with Liverpool, it's like a horror show. Every game, it's a horror show. And we've been so off form for so long. And I've been telling you, like almost every week, you can't keep going behind in every game and expect to come back. It's unsustainable. Sooner or later, it'll bite you in the arse. And that's exactly what happened. I've always maintained you can win the league without scoring many goals, right? Look it up. There's plenty of teams who've won the league and they've not been the top scorers in the league. But there's no team ever in the history of the Premier League that's won with a bad defence. You cannot win the league with a bad defence. And Liverpool, they can't keep clean sheets. It's unsustainable. And it's the same old story going forward. On this podcast, you've heard me talk about, you know, too many games. And, you know, I was always fearing the Europa League and the impact. But what you're seeing now is Jurgen Klopp's folly. 2 years ago, we went for a quadruple that's never been done. And the reason it's never been done is because, you know, you have to break yourself to win a league. You have to break yourself to win a double. You have to break yourself even more to win a treble. When Man United won their treble, they had 70-odd points to win the league. They lost so many games because you have to push yourself. So a quadruple eventually catches up with you and just the number of games catches up with you. But another thing I'd like to talk about today is one of the biggest frustrations for me under the Klopp era is his loyalty. By that I mean, we've had midfield players over the past few years who should have gone. You know, they weren't contributing, they were gone. They were kept forever and they were let go on free transfers. That held us back. We've got situations now where the likes of Darwin Nunez can start every game and have stinkers, but they know they're guaranteed a place. This is what separates Fergie and Pep on one hand and everybody else. Jack Grealish was a vital cog last season. He's hardly played this season. He did not hesitate to substitute Kevin De Bruyne against Liverpool. And that's the difference. That's why you've got winners. I mean, someone might, well, what's the alternative? We had a young lad called Jadon Dans who, when we had injuries, he turned up and he played. Give the guy a chance. Send a message to Nunez that right now you're not as good. You cannot be trusted as much as a youngster. There's no kick up the backside. It's like, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You're playing the likes of Nunez every single game and he's horrific. Mo Salah gets a pass. There's been a lot of overreaction about Mo Salah. But the reason he gets a pass is because he's not been the same since his injury. There's a Mo Salah before his injury, Mo Salah after his injury. For Liverpool, it's definitely done. Why? Because in the form that we're in, you know, with Arsenal, it's different. The only thing I'll say is it's over and done, but the heartache lives on inside.
Well, let's not forget that there is a fantasy football game week to talk about here. Let's get into our points totals for this week, which actually should bring us some silver lining to these grey clouds. I finished on a very strong, I mean, this doesn't happen to me often at all, Lumen, but I finished on 83 points. Let me quickly go through where I got those points. And I'll tell you about my wildest transfer of the season, which somehow worked out. But I'm going to go from front to back, actually. Haaland, I didn't captain, and I got 10 points. Dominic Solanke finally put the ball in the net, got me 7. Anthony Gordon was my one, which not many other of my opponents have. He's still at 13.4% ownership. He got me 17 points. Cole Palmer, I mean, we'll talk about him in a second, but 4 goals last night. He got me 26 points. A frustration, and I'll tell you about this in a second, I was going to captain him. Malo Gusto got me a clean sheet at the back. And then my wildest transfer of the season, I took out Emi Martinez and I put in Dean Henderson, Crystal Palace's Dean Henderson in goal. And somehow he managed to get me a clean sheet. I put him in just purely for saves. I thought, oh, he's just going to have to make loads of saves. So against Liverpool, of course, I didn't expect a clean sheet. It kind of cancelled out because I had Emi Martinez, who I transferred out, who also got 9 points. So it was a bit of a moot point. I captained Salah, which was the bad thing to do in hindsight.
He's not in form.
No, I just thought we needed an angry Liverpool to come out after that Atlanta result. And I thought they would. And yeah, that didn't quite happen as I thought it would. I was very close to captaining Cole Palmer, I'll be honest with you. In fact, it was between Salah and Palmer for me rather than Haaland. And what a kicker that was in the end, because Palmer went away with 4 goals. And the reason I was going to do that was I have been suffering this season from really what my hunch says to do and what I think my opponents are going to do. And all season I've been going with, you know what, I think Lumen's going to do this, or I think this is what someone's going to do in my mini league. And I have been, and I've suffered from it badly. So from now on, I pledge I am going to do what my hunch says to do from now on for the remaining, have we got 4 game weeks left, which is probably too little, too late.
Now, before we get onto my team, right? I've been waiting like a kid at Christmas to see your wild card, right? And you're not doing it. Surely this is unsustainable. You got 83 points with only 10 players playing, right? That's because 3 out of your 5 defenders did not play. I mean, you cannot carry on like this. You have to wild card, man.
I have to. No, you're right. It's happening. I've already got a draft team in there. And most of the surgery is to my defenders. Gomez didn't play. Kouyaté didn't play. Aït Nouri didn't play. Smith at Bournemouth only got a point. Areola is still injured. I have to do it because it is unsustainable. Saying that, it's not major surgery. And I've got a few issues with who I take out for one game week because I'd rather have them. You know, like, for example, Anthony Gordon hasn't got a double this game week. Do I take him out even though he's been in fantastic form? Cole Palmer has got two game weeks coming up, but not this game week. You know, I haven't got a free hit. If I had a free hit, that would be the ideal chip. I've got a wild card. So whatever I do has to stick for the rest of the season. And that's the problem. But let's go into yours. Let's go into your points.
Okay, so I got 70 points, which is the average was 58. Now, I've been overtaken in a couple of leagues by teams who are doing crazy things, right? Absolutely crazy things. My differentials aren't doing it for me. So, same as yours, I got Gusto got me 6, Palmer got me 26, Haaland captain 20, Salah 2, Saka 2, Branthwaite minus 1. I thought long and hard about differentials. Who is out there that other people aren't going to have that's going to do it for me? And I settled on Mbeumo and Alvarez. Brentford at home to Sheffield United. As predicted, they won comfortably, but Mbeumo didn't do anything. So that killed me. Alvarez got me an assist, which was something. But then the guys who've overtaken me are the guys with Isak in their team. I've missed out big time on Isak points. Right now, Isak and Cole Palmer are by far and away the best finishers in the league.
Wow.
Haaland misses chances. Salah misses chances. Watkins, you know, yes, he scored, but he misses chances. If I had to put my mortgage on two players at the moment putting their chances away, it's Isak and Palmer. It's very rare you see a player of that quality where he's through on goal and he takes that moment's pause. He sizes up the goalkeeper and he puts it in a place where the goalkeeper doesn't even stand a chance. It is amazing to watch. And I am sure I would be shocked if top teams who are desperate for a striker did not break the bank for him. The one player that we both have that I want to talk about is what to do with Son.
The ultimate feast or famine player. Again, the kicker was he only played 57 minutes. Spurs got blown away by Newcastle. Of course, Isak blew them away. Isak's, by the way, 5 goals in 6 games. Unbelievable. And yes, Spurs were horrible. And what I can't understand is Spurs are chasing that top four. Like, really? I feel like in this season so far, we've got 3 excellent teams. I know you wouldn't describe Liverpool necessarily in that category. But then you've got Spurs, Villa, United. And it's like, actually, are any of them good enough for Champions League? I'm not really sure. And yes, Son, 1 point, 57 minutes, gets hauled off. I'm not really sure if he was injured or if he was just playing badly and he wanted to not make it worse than 4-0. I'm not really sure. And Son has got horrible fixtures. Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Burnley, then Man City and Sheffield United. They've only got 2 really favourable fixtures, you'd say. I mean, depends which Chelsea turn up, of course, and which Liverpool and Arsenal. But, yeah, is Son worth it?
It's, well, here's what's very important to note. In a double game week coming up, Spurs are not playing. However, The week after, it is a double game week for them. So it'll be interesting. Now, what I'd like, I mentioned this in previous weeks, but I think it's important to touch upon, is the leagues, there's a handful of leagues where I was first, but then for the past couple of months, you've had guys who are absolutely killing it. So in one of my leagues, there's a guy who is 93 points ahead of me. And if you look at his team to see what he's doing different, he's got Garnacho and he's got Isak. Then in another league, right, in my work league, there's a guy who he's ahead of me by 2 points this week. He made up 37 points, right? He ended up on 109 points this week, right? He bought Nicholas Jackson in 4 weeks ago. Who does that? Seriously, who does that? Like, come on. And then this is the one, right? I've discussed this one before. But this guy, currently, he's 59 points ahead of me, right? This is where it just kills you. He had Fabian Scher in, who got him a goal and a clean sheet. And you know who he bought in this week? I'll give you a clue. We actually discussed him last week. And it's a player that I should have brought in. I mentioned him, but I didn't bring him in because I thought I was too clever with Brian Mbeumo. Man City.
Doku. Oh, gosh, of course.
Yes.
You did say of the rotated players, the guy who's likely to get minutes. And not only did he get minutes, what did he even end up with in the end?
16 points. Oh, one goal, two assists.
Ugh.
I mean, come on, man. Why am I trying to be clever with Brian Mbeumo? Why am I trying to be clever?
What can you do, Lumen? It's all FOMO, though, Lumen. Fantasy football is just one huge fear of missing out. I don't even know what to call it. Entity. It's gonna make you feel those feelings every week. I have it with Cole Palmer not captaining Cole Palmer this week. You have it. We're trying to be cute with Mbeumo. But the thing is with Man City, Pep Roulette, you just don't know. You just don't know. This is the thing, Lumen. This is the thing. And you know, you chance it and it could have worked out. It could have. I know someone who triple captained Mo Salah this week. So, you know, things could be a lot worse. Things could be a lot worse. But yeah, so, but, you know, respectable points total for you, Lumen. 70, me 83. The average was in the high 50s because of Cole Palmer, basically. And Cole Palmer, I mean, four goals. It doesn't happen very often. I remember a Sergio Aguero, obviously Andre Arshavin in recent memory as well. But Cole Palmer is now in that list of players who've done it. If you captain him, wow. But also, it's Cole Palmer. If in a season where, you know, Haaland hasn't really lit it up, you wouldn't say De Bruyne has been on fire. In fact, maybe Rodri and that Man City team. There's a few Arsenal players you might mention. Rice gets a lot of plaudits. You talked about Jorginho, but it's half a season. Saka's had a brilliant season overall, you'd say. But is Cole Palmer the player of the year?
He is up there with Rodri for me. I mean, Rodri is the constant. There's all the people to also talk about Phil Foden as well, who stepped up. But yeah, Palmer's been sensational. And I'm gutted that we didn't sign him as a long-term Mo Salah replacement.
Yeah, that could have been. He doesn't strike me as a, well, not that it matters now, but it doesn't strike me as a Klopp player, as someone who'd been full throttle, pressing.
You don't need that bollocks when you've got, like, did you see him last night? I mean, every one of his goals displayed a different quality. The first goal, he goes, nutmegs a player, plays a 1-2, and puts a precise finish in the corner. The second goal is pure hunger for goals, where there's a rebound and he's first in, puts his head in, because he wants to score. And that third goal, you talk about pressing. That was pure pressing, where he's in position to intercept that. And then he finishes first time. And of course, he doesn't miss penalties. I say that next time I captain him, he'll miss a penalty.
That's unless Madueke tries to take it off him. A shambles.
But he has been sensational. The only issue is everybody's got him. So
and also, what price will he be next season? I think we're going to see a record jump in price for someone like Cole Palmer next season. What is he at right now? I mean, even now he's bargain 6.1. You can't go wrong. And what's interesting is Chelsea have two double game weeks coming up. Not this next week, not game week 34, but game week 35, they've got Villa and Spurs. And game week 37, they've got Forest and Brighton. Away from Cole Palmer, though, I can see, we've mentioned him, Nicholas Jackson being a popular move into squads for those two double game weeks. How can you kind of not, really? We're going to get into game week 34 now. Let's get into game week 34. Before we get into the real, the prime players, what you do with the big ones, can we just get rid of the meh teams? The double game weeks, but I don't really care. For example, Everton have got a double game week. A few weeks ago, I was looking at Jordan Pickford. They got battered 6-0 last night at Chelsea. Everton have got Forest at home and Liverpool at home. For me, Everton are increasingly in the meh category. Who is going to score goals for them? And are they going to really concede a keep a clean sheet? I'm not sure. So Everton are in that category. Bournemouth, it's only really Dominic Solanke. So Bournemouth are in the I don't really care if you got a double game week category, potentially. There is one player at Bournemouth, Senesi, who got two assists this past game week, who potentially I think could be, you could maybe fit in. Bournemouth, however, are away at Aston Villa. Are they going to keep a clean sheet against Ollie Watkins? I don't think so. And they're away against Wolves, who like scoring goals, and Cunha, we should mention, scored two on his return this past weekend. And then finally, Sheffield United. They are, bless them, down and out. They have got a home game to Burnley. It's a big game, but really, are they going to get out of it? I don't think so. And they're away to Man United. So three double game week teams, but I don't really care. I don't know. Do you care about any of them?
I do. Everton, I think, because they're fighting for their lives and they've come off a bad result, I expect a reaction. Liverpool are not in form. I would not be surprised if Everton took something from that game.
Who at Everton would you even
say? At the back. Bournemouth, you can't discount Solanke and you can't discount some of those defenders. Sheffield United, the only player I'd consider is Ben Brereton Diaz, guy. And look, they've got a home game against Burnley.
Yeah, you're right. They have.
And Burnley are very open.
Burnley have put some results together. I'm just looking at the league table. Right. Sheffield United are on 16 points. Burnley are on 20. Like, even if Sheffield United beat, they're not getting out of it. They're just not getting out of it. I can't see a world they're getting out of it.
I mean, look, the challenge for me this game week is there's seven teams with double game weeks. And you mentioned the meh teams. So the non-meh teams are Crystal Palace, Wolves, Arsenal and Liverpool. There's two issues here. The first issue is the fixtures aren't easy for Arsenal or Liverpool, right? With Wolves away for Arsenal and then Chelsea at home. And then for Liverpool, Fulham away and Everton away, right? And that, so that automatically is not ideal. And secondly, the form is not there with Liverpool especially. On the flip side, you look at teams with only one game week. Man United are at home to Sheffield United. Man City are in cruise control and they're away to Brighton. Brighton are going to get pummeled. So then you ask yourself, do I mix it up and have a bunch of players who are playing twice and some players who are playing prime games once a week. For example, Bruno Fernandes against Sheffield United. Or do I just go, you know what, I'm going to pick a squad full of players who are double game week. So that's the challenge.
That is the challenge. I think you're right to pick that fixture up. In fact, let's go to this because I've got a game week 34 themed I'm Your Man. So George Michael's famous song, I'm Your Man. I'm going to throw some players at you and you're going to tell me who is your man. And significantly, Lumen, all these players have only got one game in game week 34, okay? So, who's your man? First up, triple threat, Isak versus Watkins versus Nicholas Jackson.
So, it's just for this week, right?
I'm saying just for this week. However, if you look at, if you were not in a position where you could have to change it again, like you're awash with chips like yourself, if you had to keep one in your squad now,
Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins is at home to Bournemouth this game week. It's hard. Again, you said, how do you balance out the guys who are playing twice this game week versus guys who've got one game? But Ollie Watkins at home to Bournemouth, you can see him doing damage. I think, anyway. The next one is interesting. Who do you go for? Who's your man? Anthony Gordon versus Garnacho at Man United.
Gordon. You know what? I am where I am in fantasy league, fantasy football. I've dropped a fair bit. And part of that is because I've missed out on the likes of Isak and Gordon. I think Gordon does more often. Garnacho is very hit and miss.
Garnacho's hit and miss, so, but home to Sheffield United the next game.
Yeah, I know, but like, I've been badly burned by not having Gordon in my team. Like, the guy... The weird thing is, at the start of the season, when he started doing all of this and we were talking about him, I said, I don't rate him.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, just gone out there and said, all right, there you go.
The next one is really interesting. One game week players, all of them. It's a four. I'm giving you four here, Lumen. Bruno Fernandes versus Doku versus Foden versus De Bruyne.
Bruno Fernandes. He'll start.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, because it's an easy one, that is, because the other three are subject to rotation and they'll win, but it's a tougher fixture than what United have got.
Yeah. Man City do have a double game week coming up eventually. They might have the title wrapped up by then anyway. So, okay. So there are some prime players that you may want to get in that are haven't got double game weeks. We've mentioned them there. But who are the prime players in game week 34, Lumen, that do have double game weeks?
I'm gonna shock you now and say there's zero.
Oh wow.
I am struggling right now to put a team together. I'm no exaggeration. There's no one out there with a double game week that I'm gonna say, you know what, hand on heart, you know what, I'm confident this player is going to do it for me. It's a combination of the fixtures and form.
Any other season, we'd be looking at Mo Salah. Should we not? I mean, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent. Mo Salah or no Salah?
Not just Mo, just generally, right? I think Liverpool, when they've been this bad for this long, and you don't see them coming out of it. The problem is Klopp is showing too much loyalty. It's a signal to the team to say, you know what, keep missing chances, boys, I'll keep picking you.
But he can't drop, he's not going to drop Mo.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jota. Is Jota fit?
I was just about to mention Jota. Jota is fit. The question is, will he start? I think the issue with Liverpool at the moment is going to be rotation with the forwards. I think Jota will play. But the question is, how many games will we play? So, rotation's the issue. Arsenal, for me, would have been nailed on, right? They would have been nailed on in terms of, yeah, that guy's going to do it, or that guy's going to do it. But I don't know how much of an impact mentally Sunday's result is going to have on them. I just don't know. I don't know what to do this week. I genuinely don't know.
Well, we've talked about the Arsenal boys and the Liverpool boys. It's hard to pick. What about the other two who I mentioned who weren't meh for me, at least? Wolves and Crystal Palace. Wolves have got two home fixtures.
Wolves have been your team. You talk about
it. I've loved Gary O'Neill this season, and I think they've been undone by some bad injuries and the Asia Cup. When they were in form, Neto gets injured, Huang goes away. It's been really unlucky for them, actually. They've got two home games. Sarabia is now a new one. Cunha is back. They've had Gomez, who's been chipping in with stuff. So I don't like them at the back. I've got Ait Nouri, who didn't play a game this weekend. He, I think, might be back. He's got a 75% chance of playing. But he's got home to... I mean, they don't keep many clean sheets, I would say, Wolves. So it's their attacking players that you want to get in. And yeah, Cunha would be the natural, obvious one. And Sarabia would be the next obvious one for me. So I really like Wolves and the way they go about there.
What about Palace? Two home games.
Palace, normally, I would say I wouldn't touch their defence. But then I put in a goalkeeper. They're at home. And who have they got at home then? So
West Ham and Newcastle.
West Ham and Newcastle. West Ham. I mean, we've just talked about Isak just ripping it up. I can see them keeping a clean sheet against West Ham if Jared Bowen is injured still. Are they going to keep a clean sheet against Newcastle? I'm not sure. The ones I like going forward are the obvious ones. Eze, and whilst he's not scored many points, Elise is always dangerous, And I think he's back in fit again. So those are the two who are really interesting for me.
Mateta?
Yes, yeah, cheap forward. He was the one who I was going to take. I had Munoz from Fulham definitely going this game week in my wild card. Mateta is an interesting one. The issue is I've got only a wild card. So whoever I get, I'm sticking to for the rest of the season now, right? So that's the problem.
So here's a question. You're happy with your team. The only issue is you've got three guys who aren't playing, right? Personally, if I was you, I wouldn't use my wild card.
Oh, really, though?
100%. Here's why. Because the double game weeks are not as appealing as the double game week in game week 37. Chelsea is a good example, right? Chelsea, they've got a double game week in game week 35 and game week 37, right? Game week 35, they play Arsenal, Aston Villa away and Spurs at home. Game week 37, they got Forest away and Brighton away.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad shout at all, Lumen. You've convinced me only because... If you do it in game week 37, you commit all these players in 37, go double on all of them, and actually you've got one game week left, right? You've got one. You're not having to live with them for the rest of the season. You've just got... Whereas if I do it now, I'm committed to sticking with Eze, Elise, these Wolves guys, for example. You might be onto something. So I'm just going to keep deferring my wild card.
Have you? You've never played a wild card this late, have you?
Oh, no, I usually do one fairly early on when I can see, oh, this guy doesn't even play a game. So within the first month to 6 weeks, and then I usually do it just after January. That's my, historically, I've done it around then. And now I've taken a leaf out of Lumen's book. The one I need to take the leaf out of your book is what is just hoarding chips, just keeping them all, just triple captain, free hit, everything, bench boost,
every season.
I don't know how you, well, there's two things. I don't know how you just don't indulge yourself and be like, yeah, I'm gonna go for it, and how you manage to do so well tinkering with your team. I mean, your selection this season has been spot on, mate. You've been phenomenal.
I've been off it recently.
But generally, it's been a superb season for you. I would say I'm definitely gonna have to take a leaf out of your book for next season. But But let's before we get to next season, we've got a game week 34. It's a double game week. We will be there, Lumen. Will you be there? We'll be there.
We'll be there.
Oh, let's hope Arsenal's still there. I don't know. Right. All right. It was good speaking to you, man.
As always.